Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Mangalore Chemicals and Fertilizers Limited and SKP Securities, it's my pleasure to welcome you to MCFL's Q3 FY24 earnings webinar. We have with us Mr. Nitin Kantak, Whole-time Director, and Mr. T.M. Muralidharan, CFO. All participant lines have been muted at this time, and this webinar is being recorded for compliance reasons. We'll have the opening remarks and a presentation by the management, followed by a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Kantak.
Thanks, Nikhil, for arranging this conference call. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I welcome our esteemed investors for this Q3 FY24 earnings call. I would like to begin by sharing agriculture scenario, overall business environment, followed by Q3 performance. Against the backdrop of a deficient southwest monsoon, notably in Karnataka, our primary market, where we experienced an 18% deficit, our challenges persisted with a complete absence of northeast monsoon in South Peninsular India and Western India. The actual rainfall deficits were 36% in Karnataka, 24% in Andhra Pradesh, 38% in Maharashtra, and we had a surplus of 4% in Tamil Nadu. As of end of December, major reservoir levels in our market remained critically low at 29% of gross capacity, marking a 63% decrease compared to last year and a 49% decrease compared to 10 years average. The crop acreage for the Rabi season reached only 72% of normal and 86% of last year's acreage. The year 2023 will be remembered as Karnataka's worst drought year. Despite Karnataka experiencing 16 drought years since 2001, it saw its lowest combined rainfall, that is the southwest and northeast, in the last 123 years, leading to 223 of the 236 taluks being declared as drought hit. In terms of the business landscape, the commodity prices, with the exception of ammonia, persisted at elevated levels throughout the quarter. The shipping disruptions in the Red Sea, caused by drone attacks from Houthi rebels, compelled many vessels to reroute through Cape of Good Hope, consequently raising freight costs. All India urea sales for the quarter decreased by 10% year-on-year to 9.8 million metric tons, and the cumulative for the year, it was marginally up by 0.25% to 28.2 million metric tons. All India DAP sales for the quarter were down 13% to 3.5 million metric tons, and for the year, it was up 6% to 9.7 million metric tons. All India NP/NPK sales for the quarter were down 2.5% to 3 million metric tons, and for the year, it was up 14% to 9.2 million metric tons. Similarly, all India MOP sales for the quarter were down 10.5% to 0.51 million metric tons, and for the year, it was flat at 1.28 million metric tons. Despite encountering challenges from adverse weather conditions, we take pride in our ability to adapt and thrive in the market, ensuring sustained success. Due to adverse condition in Karnataka, we managed to boost sales in Tamil Nadu, showcasing our agility in navigating turbulent times. Despite the difficult market environment, we have upheld our market leadership by consistently delivering high-quality products and services, strategically managing our inventory to meet market demands efficiently. In the third quarter, our primary sales reached 1.36 lakh metric ton, totaling 6.77 lakh metric ton year to date as of December, our steadfast commitment to maintaining a significant market share in Karnataka underscores our strategic positioning and strong customer loyalty. Notably, we have retained our top position in Karnataka for N20 product, which is our major product, with a 31% market share in quarter three and 26% for the year. Moreover, we continue to lead in total fertilizer sales in Karnataka, holding a 16% market share for the year. As we navigate through both challenges and successes, it is crucial to highlight our dedication to innovation, operational excellence, and customer-centric approaches. Our resilient market share in Karnataka is a testament to our adaptability and resilience in the face of adversity. Shifting to plant operation updates, our ammonia urea plant completed the annual turnaround successfully in October, following the replacement of 24-year-old primary reformer tubes. Our ammonia plant is now operating at more than 100% load. The surplus ammonia beyond the requirement for urea production is utilized for phosphatic fertilizer manufacturing, covering 75% of our ammonia requirement, thus reducing ammonia imports. I am pleased to announce that the specific energy consumption of urea production remains within the range 5.4 to 5.45 gigacalorie per ton of urea, surpassing the target set in our ammonia energy improvement project, which was completed last year, which was of 5.5 gigacalorie per metric ton. Consequently, we rank among the top 10 energy efficient ammonia urea plants in the country and also lead among the plants of our vintage. However, our phosphatic fertilizer plant operated at lower loads during the quarter due to constrained sales. Moving on to our financial performance for the quarter, significant decreases in the nutrient-based subsidy from October 23 to March 24, along with rising input costs and challenging market conditions compounded by increased competition, presented considerable obstacles that impacted our margins on phosphatic fertilizers significantly. Additionally, reduced urea sales stemming from the plant shutdown for annual maintenance led to decrease in profit before tax for the quarter to 51 crores, down from 106 crores in the previous quarter and 97 crores for Q3 FY23. PBT for the period ending December 23 stands at 233.4 crores compared to 84.3 crores for the corresponding period of financial year 23. I invite you to engage with us further during the session as we share insights, address queries, and chart a path together forward. I will now hand over to our CFO, Mr. Muralidharan, for a detailed presentation of our financial performance. Thank you. Murali, you can take over, please.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your introduction and insight. Navin, can I request you to share the presentation?
Murali, is it visible?
Yeah, it's visible. Thank you, Navin. Good morning, dear shareholders. In this presentation, we shall cover the highlights of Q3 FY24 and 9 months operations FY24 and the past annual performance. Next, please. Next, please. Yeah. This is an overview of the operations of Q3 FY24 in a snapshot. We have resumed operations of urea and ammonia plant after planned maintenance shutdown taken in end of September 2023. Phosphate production was moderated based on market conditions and demand. Next. The highlights of the quarter three performance and 9 months performance is presented here. Sales volume is 1.36 lakh metric tons in Q3 FY24 compared to 1.93 lakh metric tons in in Q3 FY23, a reduction of 30%, mainly due to shutdown of urea plant in October 23 on account of plant maintenance. However, we have registered a growth of 74% in sales volume during 9 months FY24 at 6.77 lakh metric tons compared to 3.90 lakh metric tons in 9 months FY23. Coming to revenue for Q3 FY24 is at 641 crores compared to 1,173 crores in Q3 FY23, a decrease of 45% on account of reduction volumes as explained above. However, revenue for 9 months FY24, we have registered a growth of 21% at rupees 3,009 crores in 9 months FY24 compared to rupees 2,478 crores in 9 months FY23. Moving to EBITDA, EBITDA for Q3 FY24 is at rupees 92 crores compared to rupees 148 crores in Q3 FY23, which is decrease of 30% due to reduced volumes. Once again, however, EBITDA in 9 months FY24 is at rupees 368 crores compared to rupees 201 crores in 9 months FY23, which is a growth of 83% due to increased sales volume and improved efficiency. PBT in Q3 FY24 is at rupees 51 crores compared to rupees 97 crores in Q3 FY23, a reduction of 47%. Whereas the PBT of 9 months FY24 increased by 177% at rupees 233 crores from rupees 84 crores in 9 months FY23, primarily on account of higher sales volume and improved efficiency. PAT in Q3 FY24 is at rupees 33 crores in Q3 FY24 compared to rupees 76 crores in Q3 FY23, a reduction of 57%. Whereas PAT of 9 months FY24 increased by 124% at rupees 150 crores in 9 months FY24 as against rupees 67 crores in 9 months FY23. Lastly, you come to the EPS. EPS for Q3 FY24 is at rupees 2.78 per share compared to EPS of 6.42 per share in Q3 FY23, a decrease of 57%. Whereas EPS for 9 months operations FY24 is at rupees 12.65 rupees per share compared to EPS of 5.63 in 9 months FY23, an increase of 124%. This is so far the highest EPS recorded on a cumulative basis in the history of MCFL. Next slide, please. Now we shall present the details of production, sales, and revenue. The production and sale of urea is 0.81 lakh metric tons and 0.76 lakh metric tons, respectively, in Q3 FY24, compared to production and sale of urea of 1.25 lakh metric tons and 1.22 lakh metric tons in Q3 of FY23. As far as 9 months FY24 is concerned, we have achieved production and sales of urea of 3.13 lakh metric tons and 3.11 lakh metric tons compared to 2.08 lakh metric tons and 2.07 lakh metric tons in the corresponding period of FY23. With regards to complex fertilizers, we have sold 0.61 lakh metric tons in current quarter compared to 0.71 lakh metric tons in Q3 FY23. For 9 months of FY24, we have sold complex fertilizer of 3.66 lakh metric tons compared to 1.83 lakh metric tons of corresponding period of previous year. This is highest sales of complex fertilizer so far for 9 months operations in the history of MCFL. Lastly, coming to revenue from operations. As far as revenue from operations, urea business has posted revenue of rupees 356 crores in Q3 FY24 as compared to rupees 720 crores in Q3 FY23 and has posted a growth in revenue from rupees, and posted a growth in revenue from rupees 1209 crores in 9 months of FY23 to 1322 crores in 9 months of FY24. As regards non-urea business, it has registered revenue of rupees 285 crores in Q3 FY24 as against rupees 453 crores of FY23 Q3. and ₹1,687 crores in 9 months FY24 as against ₹1,269 crores in 9 months FY23. Move on, Naveen. Slide. Thank you. Now we shall look at the financial position. It could be seen the net worth has appreciated by ₹199 crores between December 2022 and December 2023. The net worth stands at ₹935 crores at the end of December 2023. We are at the cusp of crossing ₹1,000 crores net worth. As far as the long-term debt, there is a marginal net increase of 5 crores in December 2023 over December 2022 after factoring repayments. Coming to short-term debt, that is working capital, is ₹584 crores in December 2023 as against ₹1,143 crores in December 2022, a reduction of more than around 50% due to improved liquidity. Short-term surplus is ₹367 crores in December 2023 as against ₹403 crores in December 2022. Next slide, please. We shall present now the position of receivables. There are two types of receivables in bulk fertilizer industry. One is the market debtors, the dues we collect from the dealers. The other one is subsidy from due from Government of India. The market debtors is ₹130 crores in December 2023 as against ₹129 crores in December 2022. Despite the higher volume of sales, still we're able to maintain the same level, similar levels of market debtors. This demonstrates our control over the credit assessment and recovery process. Coming to subsidy receivables, it is ₹359 crores at the end of Q3 FY24 as against ₹645 crores at the end of Q3 FY23 due to timely disbursement of subsidies by Government of India. We have received, against the 359 crores, which is outstanding at the end of December 2023, we have received ₹165 crores in January 2024. This clearly demonstrates that even the last quarter of the current financial year, the government is arranging adequate subsidy grants and disbursement for the fertilizer industry. Next, please. We shall now look at some past annual performance. The revenue from operations was ₹3,074 crores in FY19, increased to ₹3,642 crores in FY23. As regards EBITDA, you can see from the levels of ₹200 crores for FY19, you have been able to maintain the EBITDA during difficult times in the last 3 to 4 years and have been able to improve it to ₹340 crores in FY23. While PBT has improved from ₹50 crores to ₹170 crores in FY23 due to receipt of natural gas in FY21 and successful commissioning of ammonia energy improvement project in FY23. In respect of PAT, similarly, we have been able to improve from ₹33 crores in FY19 to ₹135 crores in FY23. Next slide. The cash profit has improved from ₹72 crores in FY19 to ₹194 crores in FY23. Earnings per share has improved from ₹3 per share in FY19 to ₹11 per share in FY23. We could see that the total receivables have come down from ₹1,564 crores in FY19 to ₹757 crores, which is almost 50% reduction. This is possible on account of improved liquidity in the market and significant reduction in subsidy receivables due to the fiscal stimulus given in FY21 during COVID-19 to clear subsidy arrears and continued additional support given in FY22 and FY23 by the Government of India and timely disbursements of subsidies. We expect the similar trend to continue going forward as adequate budgetary support is given. Despite the amount for what is announced in the budget at the time of presentation budget, if the situation warranting additional allocation of subsidy or grant of subsidy, the Government of India is able to allocate these subsidies underlying the importance of fertilizer in the economy. We shall look at the details of production and sales. We are able to consistently produce 3.8 lakh tons per annum in terms of urea, which is our resource capacity. However, in the last financial year, FY23, there's a reduction in production due to plant shutdown for the implementation of energy improvement project. The trend in sales of TNK fertilizers is based on availability and viability in this vertical. Next. We carry this slide for the first-time participants. This is an overview of MCL operations as regards the location of the plant, products manufactured, the capacities, marketing territories, and the brand. The plant is situated at Mangalore West Coast, opposite Mangalore Port, and our present capacity of urea is 3.8 lakh tons, which is our resource capacity, as said earlier, whereas the capacity of DAP and other complexes is 2.8 lakh tons per annum. We are also trading in MOP, DAP 1026 based on market opportunities and business viability. We operate in the states of Karnataka, Kerala, Tamil Nadu, Andhra Pradesh, Telangana, Maharashtra. We sell about 78% of our sales in Karnataka, 3% in Kerala, 10% in Tamil Nadu, 5% in Andhra Pradesh, and 4% in Maharashtra. We sell under the brand Mangala. Thank you for your time, shareholders.
Murli, anything else, or we can start with the Q&A session?
Yeah, I'm done, mate.
Friends, we can start with the Q&A now. Anyone wishing to ask a question, request you to please raise your hand. We'll unmute you and take your question forward. Wait for a couple of minutes while questions line up. Okay, the first question is from Aditya Jhawar. Aditya, please go ahead and ask your question. Please unmute yourself.
Yeah, so thanks for the opportunity. A great detailed presentation. Thanks for that. Sir, I have very broader questions. So I want to understand the profitability in a better way. So our profitability, what I understood, please correct me if I'm wrong. So whatever raw material, the natural gas is for the urea, let's talk about the urea plant. Whatever the raw material is, based on that pricing only, we'll be able to get the finished product, and based on that only, we get the EBITDA per ton. So I want to understand, how can we increase this EBITDA per ton? I know we have done NEP program, but currently, suppose what can be sustainable and how can we increase the EBITDA? That is my first question. And I'll ask this subsequent question on the NPK front, and this is related to urea. Yeah.
You can take it.
Okay. Aditya, your understanding of the operative aspects of urea is very, very good. Okay. And we have done the best possible investments to improve the EBITDA. And the urea margins are linked to the two factors. One is the efficiency in which we operate. And number two is determined by the prices of the raw materials, the gas. Okay. The current levels of natural gas prices are very, what I call, very stable now. Okay. And we were operating at the gas prices of about $9 to $10 per MMBTU. Now it is hovering around $15, $16 per MMBTU. It was in fact a peak of during the what I call COVID and post-COVID times. The prices were very high at $25 per MMBTU. Now the last 1.5 years, you could see that the gas prices are at the levels of $15, $16 per MMBTU. This is the level it operates. So our margins are well protected, and because our investments were made at the levels when the prices of gas were at $9 to $10. So we are pretty confident that these prices will hold and the margins will, the EBITDA will be protected. The, as regards the other part of the margins, the efficiency, we have done what best we can do so far. Still, we are constantly engaged, okay, in trying to, what I call, improve this. Various small capex investments are done, which is ongoing exercise. As our CEO and Mr. Kantak explained, we are the top 10, efficient plants to the vintage we belong to. And we will continue to maintain the focus, how to keep on innovating ourselves and improvising ourselves, so that we maintain the EBITDA or improve the EBITDA. So we ensure that at any point of time, We don't have a dilution of EBITDA at any point of time. This is our stated, what we call focused attention. I hope I'm able to reach out to you, Aditya.
Yeah. So what can be the urea, what can we maintain, say, 4,000 or 5,000 or 6,000 EBITDA per ton? What do you think, based on current 15 to 16, what do you think it's sustainable for us?
Currently, we are making about 5,000 plus, okay, depending upon the, sometimes, you know, some what you call variations in the operations will happen. So 5,000 to 5,000 plus EBITDA we are making, that will be the fair figure to assume, okay, in a long term, at least we could see, I won't say long term, maybe short or medium term. So we would be able to assume this to be realized. And it's a pretty good, what you call EBITDA to operate.
So we are happy with this 5,000 metric per ton for,
yes,
the urea part.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. On the now, I have a question.
So, one second, I would like to add to what Mr. Muridharan has, yes, mentioned. I would also like to mention that we are now implementing sulfuric acid project, 300 tons per day, which is going to generate a lot of waste heat steam. This is going to be utilized in our urea plant, and we have got an opportunity to bring down the urea energy consumption per ton further. Right now, as such, we are operating at much lower level of around 5.4 to 5.45, and going forward, there is an opportunity that it may come down by about 0.2, 0.25, which is definitely going to improve our EBITDA margins further on urea.
Awesome.
Yeah, you can go ahead with your second question, please.
Yeah. So you're saying, sir, on this fallback, so 5.45 to 5.25, then what will be the EBITDA per ton we can increase, sir? Here with this, it would go by 500 more. 5,000.
Yeah, maybe again, it may not 1,000 rupees, maybe 250 to 300 rupees. Okay,
great. That is also good. So, coming to this second question only, NPK front.
Yeah,
so here we are. I understand that we recently have a capex of 250 240 crores for sulfuric acid, that, yeah, is kind of backward intermediate product for the DAP.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So how do you see DAP? I understand the prices currently, whatever earlier we used to do import in DAP and MOP, right?
Yeah.
So how do you see as a strategy, how much EBITDA can we make? And if you're going with the backward integration, and what are the thought process here, sir, on the NPK front?
Yeah, I mean, just come in here. Just wanted to inform you that as far as manufacturing is concerned, our focus is on non-DAP, because you know the margins on DAP are much lower because of the higher input prices and also you know, substantial reduction in subsidy. So we don't focus on manufacturing DAP, and most of our focus is on N20 project, which we have been able to, you know, market. And we have increased our sales over the last 2 or 3 years. And a major part of our product mix is the N20 product, where we are getting good margins. However, to meet the requirement of DAP of the market, we resort to imports. And we take the opportunity to see that wherever the conditions are better, we do that. Like in the last quarter, you know, we imported quite a substantial quantity of DAP, almost 60 to 70,000 tons, and you know, got good margins on that, because that time the conditions were favorable. So this has been our strategy, you know, to see that on our phosphatics, we get good margins.
Okay. So what I'm understanding is, so N20 project is non-regulated. So we are focusing more on that. For that, we are doing a backward integration of sulfuric acid, right?
Yeah.
So what is the EBITDA per ton here we are making, sir? And what can be the potential after?
You can give those inputs.
Yeah. Aditya, see, this EBITDA is what we make is very seasonal, based on purely on what you call the subsidy, what you call what the support given by the government. Okay. So It fluctuates from as low as sometimes we made 2,000 to 3,000. Okay, sometimes we go up to 4,000 to 5,000. It's very difficult to say that this will be money we'll be making it every year on year. Okay, even though there is a as you know that there's a regulation in that also. Okay, so and we are unable to give beyond this a direction, like we are given able to give you for urea. Okay.
So for if we go with the backward integration, what can we increase, sir, in this? Because we are putting significant amount, right? 240 crores on this. Then there should be some thought process on
No, the major benefit out of that sulfuric acid project is the steam which is going to be generated. As far as the sulfuric acid requirement of our plant is concerned, yes, it is going to meet our requirement. But the benefits in terms of sulfuric acid is going to be low for the NPKs, for the NP production.
Okay, understood.
Aditya, we'll get about 1,000 to 1,500 rupees, okay, is the overall benefit, okay, we'll get, okay.
Okay. So last question I have to Nitin ji, sir. So I know that I've been following this Mangalore journey. So we have moved from naphthalene to gas. Now we started with NDP. Then we are going with the backward integrator for the NPK. But sir, if you have a 2 to 3 years of horizon, there is always a chance. Profitability, predictability is very because we are into regulated market. Whereas suppose in the Advent Group only you have been following your in this group, you have Paradeep and where they are into non-regulated this thing. So why to have this cross dependency and where do you see the Mangalore journey in the next 2 to 3 years? I need some medium-term horizon for investors because investors always like predictability in earnings. So that is my question for you, sir.
As you also mentioned, post ammonia energy improvement project, we have been able to increase our daily urea capacity to 1350 tons per day, as compared to what we were operating earlier of 1200 tons per day, which on annual basis would be around 4.7 lakh metric tons against our reassessed capacity of 3.8. All these years, we have been mostly restricting to about 3.8 lakh metric tons, but now we are going to go up to about 4.7 lakh metric tons, which is going to give us a higher revenue in the next few years. And as far as the phosphatic capacity is concerned, that also we have been able to significantly increase this year. You know, if you have seen in quarter one and quarter two, we are operating at almost 40% higher production levels of phosphatics. That is our earlier capacity used to be around 800 to 900 tons per day, but we have lifted that up to 1200 to 1350 tons per day. So that also is going to give us you know higher total revenue over the next few years. Of course, in this quarter, we had to restrict again the loads because of the adverse market condition, which is once in many years. Like, you know, it was a worst drought year, you know, after many years. But going forward, if the season is good, we'll definitely be able to gain more from this. And other thing, of course, this sulfuric acid project is what is implemented. The benefits will start coming in another 2 years. So that is also going to add to our revenue and the bottom line.
So, sir, in the urea, you
Aditya,
said.
Aditya, I'll have to interrupt you. Can you please join the queue? We need to give other participants an opportunity.
Okay. I'll join
Thank
back.
you. The next question is from Sandeep Mukherjee. Sandeep, please unmute yourself and go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes,
Yeah.
Sandeep.
Yeah. Good morning, sir. Sir, my first question is regarding the average cost price. What is average gas cost price? What is the average gas cost price for the quarter and what is the outlook, sir?
You
As I
can take
told
it up.
you now just now, and Sandeep, the average cost price is $16, okay, per MMBTU. Okay. This
Currently,
has been pretty last almost 2 to 3 quarters. Okay, this is same price will continue, and the what you call and we expect this to continue in the foreseeable future, and at least in the short to medium term.
okay, sir. Sir, what are the manufacturing volumes and EBITDA pattern for DAP and NPK for this quarter?
See, we don't our, see manufactured. We have not. We have manufactured a small quantity of 5,000 tons during this quarter, okay, and we and We have management decided to the to what to share the, not to share the informations on EBITDAs because it is fluctuating on a quarter on quarter basis. Okay, so but we will what call we will try to share the informations to you. What call we decide not to share the informations because it is very cyclical by nature and also little sensitive by nature. Okay, informations we will take we can discuss with you offline if you required. Sandeep.
Okay. Sir, how do you see the margins going forward, sir?
Okay, the outlooks are very good, Sandeep, and we are able to see a stability in the margins in terms of both for terms of urea as well as the DAP and other complexes, and we are able to see the prices are stabilizing, if not correcting, what I call very deep, or it is not going to escalate very high, okay, steeply. So we expect the margins what we've been making in last 2 to 3 years an average basis. We'll be able to maintain it. Okay, that is good news for the industry as well as for the investors.
Okay, sir. In the current scenario where the freight rates are so high, is it possible to do you see it is it possible to trade in DAP, NP and NPK and MOP?
It can repeat the question, Sandeep. Initially, I lost your what you call. I couldn't get you a few words of your question.
In the current scenario, sir, where
Yeah.
the freight rates are so high due to the Red Sea disruption,
Okay.
is it possible to trade, sir? Is it possible to trade in DAP, in NPK and MOP? Sir,
Yes,
this.
I'll take it.
Okay.
See, as far as the DAP is concerned, DAP prices have remained at an elevated level of around $595 per ton over the last almost 2 quarters. And the price is remaining at that level, although it was supposed to go down, but because of this freight rates going up, it has remained at that level. And also, second reason is because of China. China has stopped exports of DAP to the market. So that has maintained the DAP prices. So at the current prices and current subsidy levels and the current MRP, which has been fixed by the government at 1350 per bag, it is not economical to manufacture DAP. So going forward, in the next after April, what will be the conditions? Based on that, by that time, we hope that China comes back to the market and the DAP prices start going down. And if subsidy is just, then it may be able to, we will be able to, manufacture at that time if some good contributions are there on DAP.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandeep. We have a question from Darshita Shah. Darshita, please unmute yourself and go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. So, my first question was regarding the recent guidelines that the government has announced with respect to capping the profit margins in the NBS space or in the non-urea space. If you could share some light on what is the government's intention behind it, given that we were moving towards reducing the subsidy burden, especially in this space, and we've spoken to a few industry experts. Even they have said that they would want to increase the MRP as much as possible just in order to reduce the subsidy burden for the non-urea space especially. So what could be the government's intention to come out with this guideline, especially by capping the MRP, some color on that.
I will take it. Madam, this notification came just about 2 weeks back. We are studying the operative aspects of this notification at the fertilizer industry body level, and we are getting inputs from all the fertilizer industry fraternity, and we shall represent to the Department of Fertilizer for suitable resolution.
Right. Okay. Secondly, on the MRP, I mean, MRP on the NPKs going forward, we have seen some increase in the MRP over the past few months on monthly basis, I think ever since the government reduced the subsidy rates back in October. Is this expected to continue for NPKs? DAP, I understand, is capped at 1350 per 50 kg bag. For NPKs, is this expected to continue, in Kharif as well, as we move towards Kharif?
Actually, the reason in fact, the MRPs were reduced in the last quarter, that is Q3, and that was because there was steep competition in the market, especially the southern market, where because of the adverse market condition, the sales were not happening. And all the manufacturers had reduced the prices. But yes, going forward, because of the notification, we have started bringing down the MRP as of now. So
Okay.
we will take the call as it goes so that we maintain our margins.
Okay, no, so because so you know the data that government releases or the TOF releases on monthly basis, over there we saw that N20 average realization, which used to be closer to 25,500, 24,500, increased to close to 27,000. This is the data that is released by the government on monthly basis. So that's why I was asking the question that are we expecting it to increase or but you're suggesting that it has come down and probably we could see an
Last quarter it
increase
had
in
come
Q.
down.
Okay.
Last quarter it had come down, and now we have started increasing the MRPs because of reasons, certain other reasons.
Darshita,
Right.
to supplement, you see, all the players are importing the same sources. The prices are pretty common for everybody. There's no big elbows for anyone to operate with the wide variations and flexibility, what do you call it, between the prices. Industry operates within tandem generally. Okay.
Okay, got it. Then on, are we expecting any increase in the NBS rates or how in the fourth quarter 23 the government came in retrospectively reduced the rates? Are we expecting anything of that sort happening? I understand, I think the industry was in constant touch with the government to increase the rates retrospectively. Is there any progress over there?
We do not speculate. I think we'll see
As
as
of
it is.
now, we don't have any information on whether subsidy is going down or going up or what is
Okay.
happening. But at least for this quarter, we don't expect any change in the subsidy which was declared in October.
October. Got it. And in the budget, the 1.64 lakh crore subsidy that has been provided, we think it should be enough considering the current phos acid rates.
Yeah, it should be sufficient. Darshita, as I
Not
told you,
sufficient.
that's.
And in case there is a change happening, like commodity prices going up and all, the government always supports and comes out with additional subsidy.
Right.
To add on to you, Darshita, to add on to Mr. Kantak said, I think investor community should not get bogged down on the allocation given in the budget as a first time when budgets are presented. The last 4 years demonstrated that if the situation warranting on account of the hardening of the prices, commodity prices, government has come realizing the importance of the industry and always they will come back and provide additional support if required. So that must be the what to call the get bogged down on the budgets what are present.
Right. Got it. And just one last question. Are we looking at probably merging the and like the Zuari group companies or the Advanced Group companies together? Are we seeing any interactions happening with any of their other companies, group companies, be it Paradeep or Chambal? If you could give some highlight on that.
We'll take it. See,
Yeah.
this kind of reports, Darshita, are speculative in nature. We are not privy to any such discussions. If at
Okay.
all in future anything comes up, we will come back to the shareholders with the information.
Sure. All right. Okay. That's it on from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Darshita. We have a follow-up question from Aditya Jhawar. Aditya, please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks again for the opportunity. I have a question on the guidance part. I know that we don't give guidance, but if we take that after NAP, we are able to maintain good margins. That is for FY23. If I see, we have maintained roughly around 10% to 9%. So we are making roughly 300 crores of EBITDA. And this year, maybe for the first half, we have made a significant jump. But how do you see this run rate is sustainable or is a one-time event for next 2 to 3 years? Because for the last 10 years, we are hovering around 200 crores of EBITDA. Because of NBP, we have added 100 crores of more EBITDA. And how do you see, sir, in next 2 to 3 years, medium term, not for short term?
You can take it.
Yeah. We qualified ourselves saying that we don't give guidance. Nevertheless, to see, in 2 to 3 years' time, this EBITDA, what we are, what I call the range of 300 plus. I wouldn't say even the exact numbers, I wouldn't speculate, okay? So 300 plus is the levels we are targeting to achieve in the next 2 to 3 years, depending on, see, this industry, you have to understand, the investor community has to understand, this industry is very, very, what I call, regulated industry is one part of it, that is the, not a very significant, because we are operating under regulated industry all along in the last 50 years plus, okay? The one more aspect you have to see, appreciate, is the seasonality of the market we operate based on the rainfall, the as explained by CEO, how what called the CR has been very bad for the major our market territory, Karnataka. So barring those what you call industry constraints, what we have as a nature of the industry, we expect this to be fairly achievable, okay? But we are not giving any definitive commitment, nor we are giving guidance. I want to qualify at this point of time. It's achievable, but by the as of today, with the way we what to call, we are able to anticipate things.
Okay, that's helpful. And sir, I want to just understand the management perspective, right? So here we are in the urea and complex fertilizer, and we have the group companies. Paradeep is also in mostly in the NPK. So there are a lot of synergies if we merge, right? What are your thoughts here, sir?
I think it's already answered by my by CEO. Okay, so we are not okay. It's not.
We are not privy to any such discussion, so we will not like to talk about it.
Okay. So apart from sulfuric acid, do you have any capex program in mind, sir?
As of now, no, because we have just completed last year itself this ammonia improvement project, and we had to take a lot of capex loans, so we have to first service that and bring up our working capital conditions, and I think going forward maybe we will look at it.
Okay. And the last part I have is, sir, on the revenue part, I understand the EBITDA part, that is 300 whatever run rate is sustainable, but since it is a regulated industry, I think the only thing we can make is EBITDA pattern, nor the we cannot maximize our revenue, right? And because you have said that in the urea also we have increased the capacity, but whatever above the RAS capacity, it is not margin accretive also, right? So on the revenue part, can we have a maximization, or this is what we can achieve since it is regulated? Just your thought on this.
Yeah, Aditya, this I think even this revenue part is a factor of prices. Prices keep going up, the revenue will be seeing a great revenue growth. But you cannot expect the EBITDA percentage on the revenue. So this industry, you have to understand a little differently. Okay. So there could be an what called escalation in the raw material prices or finished goods prices, which we do the trading. But not necessarily we can be able to post a consistent EBITDA percentage on the turnover. Okay, you look at the, I think many other, what I call the stakeholders in terms of and bankers, and other analysts, other analysis done by the people, they look at more on EBITDA as a value terms. As correctly you understood, no, you're asking about the levels of 200 plus. We've been maintaining that. Different conditions, we maintain 200 plus. And now we are able to improve on to the value terms to 300 plus. Okay, that is what the range you should look at it. Suppose you say 6,000 crore is somebody's, what I call, not ours, somebody's able to post a top line revenue. You can't expect a 10% state flat as a 600 crores. It can't jump like that. This industry doesn't operate like that. You have to understand that.
Right. So on the interest cost, it is possible to decrease our interest cost, or it will be hovering around this range only, because we will generate enough cash, right?
Yeah. See, we are keeping interest costs. You have to see the interest costs in relation with the interest. Yeah, we also earn on the surplus deposit, surplus cash we carry, which is from other income. Okay, significantly. And number two, to answer your other question is yes, you could see that there is a softening compared to last year. This year, you could see that going forward, the improved liquidity in the market and also the time of disbursement will translate into reduction in the finance costs as you go forward. And we are only carrying about close to about 1 second. Long-term loans about we are 400 crores, and with a clear repayment schedule we have in place, you will see as go forward there will be a reduction of at least 10% or 20% as we progress into what I call subsequent what I call in the future into the future. So we implement into the PAT on account of this benefit flowing into you.
So currently it is around 100 crores yearly. You are saying that in 2 to 3 years it can be 50% or
no, I said 10% year on year. You could see that. Okay.
Okay, that will be dropping. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you for answering me.
Welcome, Aditya.
Thanks, Aditya. A follow-up question from Darshita.
I just had one question. What is the land parcel size that we have in Mangalore, at the plant, and how much spare land do we have?
Please, what is the information on this?
Darshita, we have 200 acres of land, which is contiguous bay, contiguous, and we are having a green belt about 70 acres been allocated. And we are demarcated for that, and we have about 100 acres. We are current facilities are there. Even there is a facility that we have some space to even to expand also.
Right. So 100 acres, the current facility is there. How much is for the green belt?
Green belt is additional. It's 70 acres we kept.
70 acres you have kept. So 170 acres is used, and then we have 30 acres of spare land another plant.
Yeah, for expansions, anything.
Okay. And in 30 acres land, according to your judgment, if we were to expand, would we look at expanding in urea or non-urea?
I think urea is a very capital intensive work. I would call, and depending on the policy of the government, if they decontrol urea and is lucrative, we will invest in urea. But it's
more likely in phosphatics.
Phosphatics.
Right. And 30 acres of land is enough for setting up maybe how much of a capacity of a plant, and especially like if you want to backward integrate, then phosphoric acid or sulfuric acid that come in can come in that 30 acres of land, or would we require more?
It was sufficient. I think
even for 1 million metric tons of DAP, that is sufficient.
See, you should understand. Darshita, since all other facilities are all in place now, currently the other supports utilities, whatever we expand is only we need only heart. Okay, so everything other things are in place. See, the incremental the space required is very less for expansion, not like a greenfield expansions. You know that,
right? No, I understand that the utilities are in place, but what I was just trying to understand is, as Kantak sir mentioned, that 1 million of DAP capacity can come, and would we, if we want to set up a plant for phosphoric acid or sulfuric acid, that can also be adjusted in that land, or there will not be any backward integration.
Is all possible. Even the existing place,
sulfuric acid also is possible.
And we can existing space also we can reorganize to create more space also. Okay.
Right. That was my next question. That there is, if we have to acquire more land and expand, there is a space available. To acquire.
No, to acquire, there's no space available, number one. Now, see, this was done a long time back, 50 years back. So now there's no land available for purchase in the vicinity, number one. What I was like to say is, when you set up a plant, what I call the 200 acres of land, that point of time, you plot out things in a very, very spacious way, okay? And we don't have the constraint. So now, when we have a constraint of an area going for any expansions, the existing facility itself can be reorganized to create more space. That's what I'm trying to explain to you.
Okay. Got it. That and we as of now, there is nothing, no discussion that are happening with respect to expanding our phosphatic capacity.
Yeah, at this point of time.
As I mentioned, we have just completed your energy improvement project, and then we are going
Right.
with this project. So right now, we are not looking at any further tax additions. So it may happen after about 3 or 4 years.
Okay, 3 or 4 years. Got it, got it. That's all from my side. Thank you for answering all my questions.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, Darshita. Friends, anyone with a question, request you to please raise your hand and we'll take it up. Since there are no further questions, Mr. Kantak, if you would like to add something more.
Yeah, thank you, Naveen. In closing, I want to express my gratitude to our investors, stakeholders, and an entire team at MCFL. Your unwavering support and dedication have been instrumental in our journey. Despite the hurdles faced in Q3, our resilience, operational achievements, and commitment to sustainability has set a strong foundation for the future. We are leveraging our strengths, learning from challenges, and evolving to meet market demands. Looking ahead, we remain focused on innovation, efficiency, and customer satisfaction. Our proactive measures, strategic positioning, and unwavering dedication will drive us forward, ensuring sustained growth and profitability. Thank you for your continued support and trust in MCFL. I am confident in our ability to overcome challenges and seize opportunities, continuing to deliver value to our investors and stakeholders. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of all of us at SKP Securities, I'd like to thank Mr. Kantak and Mr. Muralidharan for taking time out and interacting with the investors. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us this morning, and see you next quarter. Thank you. Bye-bye, and have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.